Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We're trying to reach Bill Nolan today, and I hope he's not stuck on the freeway. We've got so much construction going on up here in the Pacific Northwest, but we are waiting for him to call into the studio, so right now we are just going to go ahead with the show, and as soon as Bill gives us a call, then we're going to be able to interact with him. He has a fascinating book called The Bleeding Edge. Bill is just an absolutely incredible writer. My goodness, he's got awards like you wouldn't believe. And he's written, I don't know how many, hundreds of articles. He's got 89 books published. This man is just incredible. So we're looking forward to having him call into the studio because we're not able to reach him at this point. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to share some items with you today, and we'll just keep moving along. And if you should want to call in and chat with me, you'd be able to do that too at 888-815-9756. I wanted to share a thought with you. So many times we will hear people say, well, if it's really hard to get something done, try to find an easier way. And Henry Ford was once asked, How can one become a success? And he had just a few words. He said, if you start something, finish it. That's how simple it was. If you start something, finish it. Now, he learned this as a young man. He began working on his first automobile, and he worked a lot of hours. Nobody paid him to do any of it. He worked behind this little dinky building that was outside the edge of his home property, but he found that he was enjoying putting together this automobile so much that he really didn't care if he had sleep or if he ate very much. It wasn't important to him. He had to put this car together. So when he finished it, after going through everything that he did, and boy, the car was there, it could run, it was doing things. In the process of building the car, he realized he could do something even better, much better. And he was so aware and so sure about what he had worked through in his head regarding the improvements for the automobile that the more he looked at the car that he had finished, the less enthusiastic he got about it. He wasn't really all that excited and all that proud of it. It was as if it was a catalyst for him. A catalyst to push him forward to aim for something better. There was a thought that he had. Why should I spend any more time on really finishing this car, spit and polishing it, when I know it's not as good as it can be? But there was an inner drive. He couldn't let this vehicle that he'd put so much heart into, even though he knew it was inferior, to be less than the best it possibly could be. So he finished that automobile. Polished it, everything just sparkled, it ran like a top. Then he went and put his mind towards the next level, the next car that he wanted to build. And he said that when he finished the second car, it was another learning curve for him because every single detail on that second car, even though it was improved, enabled him to see how he could make something else better. And he said if he had not finished the first car, he wouldn't have known what he wanted really to do with the second one. And he said he had to finish the second one to know what he really wanted to do for the final product. Now, how many times do we really want to be like a perfectionist, have everything just absolutely so? Well, that's okay. That's good. That's not a bad thing. But how about you finish what you start out? So many of us, my goodness, I can even say the same thing. We may take on a project and then we get bored or we get sidetracked and we go, oh, does this really, should I really give my time to this? There is that discipline of finishing what you start, finishing it, giving it the best you've got, putting it aside. It's sort of like going to school, finishing what's required for each grade so that you can go on to the next one. And eventually you'll have a PhD in life. And that is what is so very important. And I really like this lesson by, you know, Henry Ford, because I think it's so important, especially in a world today where things move so quickly. And we say, well, it's okay, I don't need to bother with this. I'll just pick up something else. We've often been called the throwaway society. Well, we don't have to throw our talents away, and we don't have to throw away a project that needs to be finished. Maybe you need to have a buddy with you to get it done. But whatever the project is, for you, it is going to be something that when you finish it, you're going to realize that you've accomplished something. And you can always move on to something better and also always do something even better than you did before. But it is finishing what it is you start out, getting it done, making sure everything's in place, and then going on to the next thing. And it's what they, you know, it's that focused mentality. And when you're focused like that, you're going to win. You're not going to lose, not by a long shot. So I wanted to share that with you today. This is Donna Sebo. We're waiting for Bill Nolan to call into the studio. And as soon as he does, then we'll be on the air with him. But if you'd like to call in the interim at 888-815-9756. I would be delighted to have you call in, and I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. For those of you that are regular listeners to the show, you will hear me talking about so many different aspects of mind skill. I have guests from around the world that share their talents and their abilities, and it's just absolutely a delight to see all of the different things that can happen. Well, I came across some information that I thought you might find interesting. There was a very famous actor. His name was David Janssen, and he was the star of a very, very popular show called The Fugitive. Now, in 1980, David had a very bad dream in which he saw himself being carried away in a coffin following a heart attack. Now, this dream unnerved him so much that he went and he saw a psychic. Now, the psychic advised him to have a medical checkup immediately. 2 days later, David Janssen died from a sudden heart attack. And the memory that this brought back to me was the image of President Lincoln. President Lincoln had a dream about his death. I have known other people that have had dreams either about loved ones or maybe even themselves where they knew when they were going to die and the circumstances. Now, someone might say, why in the world would you even want to discuss something like that? It is just so scary. It is so frightening. Not really. Because many times we're given insights and information so that we can take care of business as it needs to be taken care of. And sometimes we're given an opportunity, even if we're aware enough, to perhaps shift an outcome. So it's not always to be taken in a negative sense. Now, this information about David Janssen, they didn't say whether he actually went to the doctor or not. If he had gone to a physician, perhaps it would have made a difference. But let me share an experience that I had. This was a few years ago. And I was in a very unique feeling. That's the way I will describe it. And I was aware that there was something wrong physically. I knew where it was in my body. I knew it was in the female organ area, and I knew that it was serious. So I went, and I contacted a physician. My gynecologist, he said, okay, Donna, if you think something's wrong, come on in, and we'll check you out. He checked me. He said, you're healthy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. 3 days later, on my birthday, I ended up being rushed to the hospital. I was hemorrhaging internally. And what it was an ovarian cyst. Now, I had an awareness, and I had gone to the doctor, but the doctor hadn't been able to find anything. He gave me a very, very thorough exam. There was no pain. There was no discomfort. Well, the discomfort came 3 days later. But I was made aware that it was going to happen. So I took the proper steps. And so I was sort of attuned. And when the event occurred, then I got medical treatment very, very quickly. But it is something that often you'll have an awareness, and it behooves you to pay attention. Now, let me share some interesting stories with you. This is about an Elsa Oliver, who is from Gateshead, England. She canceled a vacation to New York because just before take-up, she had a premonition that something really good was going to happen to her. Later that day, she heard she had been selected to appear on a TV quiz show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And she went on to win 64,000 pounds. That's right. She went on that show and won. See? So you can have two sides of a coin. And I just think it's absolutely fascinating. We all have unique experiences, and I love being able to share them with you, and I would like for you to share yours with me. I'm putting together a book, so if you have a story, if it's about a ghost experience, if it's about a dream, it doesn't make any difference what your paranormal experience has been. I would love to hear your story and would appreciate it if you could send it to me because I'm putting together a book. I am collecting 100 stories, and we've gotten some wonderful submissions from people. And if you would like to be a contributor to one of these, I would just absolutely love it. So send your story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International, and that's the whole word, .com. And just put in the subject line, story for Donna's book, or something like that, so I'll be able to identify it from all of the emails that I receive. I would be delighted to hear your story. It really would be something very special, and you don't know, your story may touch the life of someone else. So, again, I would love to hear from you. Okay, and those are just a couple of fun things that I wanted to share with you today, because you never know how your intuitive process is going to work. And when it does have its magic in your space, and I use the term magic because it is something that for most of us, when we're awake enough to recognize it, it's just really amazing. This morning, I had a client that I called, and she was just dumbfounded. She said, my goodness, your card was in my hand. I was just going to pick up the phone, and here you are calling me. This is amazing. And she said her whole day had been like that. She had talked to someone else, and they had taken care of a certain kind of paperwork that needed to be done. There was a synchronicity, and there was a rhythm that was going on around her environment. And she said, boy, was that refreshing, because I had had a week that was the week from hell. So she said this was just absolutely amazing, that she really had fun with the fact that she was holding my business card in her hand when I called her. So these things happen. These things occur. And when you can be in your own rhythm and you can see them and recognize them when they do come into place, you're going to find that it's absolutely one of the most wonderful experiences that you will enjoy having over and over again, maybe in a different way, but it can be a part of your life in a very significant way. There is something about life that has its rhythm and its motion and its movement that I just find intriguing. I really, really do. It just continues to fascinate me, and I hope it will fascinate you. We're waiting for Bill Nolan to call into the studio, but if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. A lot of people are working. Many times I find clients are very concerned because they say, gee whiz, in this economy, if I don't have a job, and they get very frightened and very scared. Well, there are some tips that were brought to my attention by an employment specialist. Her name is Susan Joyce, that I thought would, you know, would really be very helpful to some of you maybe that are anxious about your job positioning. You need to know that change is not a bad thing, number one. And even though things are seemingly really, really rough, which they are for many people, I'm not making light of it, because certain industries are disappearing, certain types of job environments are no longer going to be as easily reached into and attained as before. But remember, nature abhors a void. So when there is a vacuum, if you will, a hole, then by golly, it can be filled with ingenuity, resourcefulness, and someone that says, I have a better wheel. I can do something that's going to make this world a better place. There's a lot of new jobs that are being created, and I'm not talking about government jobs either. I'm talking about entrepreneurial individuals who are saying, I want to do something. I want to produce green products. I want to be able to do this better and that better and the other better. And that's necessary because we've realized that we need to have the change. Well, let's say you're working for someone and there's just really the challenge. You go, oh my goodness, this person just doesn't seem to get it. Well, try to sort of put yourself in their shoes. I can tell you there have been many instances where people who have been in management positions are more frightened than the people that are working under them, because a lot of management positions are being whacked right and left. So many times their sternness or their seeming indifference is a preoccupation with concern about their losing their jobs. So one of the things that can be done, and I was discussing this with someone not too long ago, I said, realize that what you want to do, there may be personality differences. I realize that bosses aren't perfect, and you're going to have some people that are pleasant to work for and others that aren't. But you're there to do a job. And so what you want to do is be an observer. Be an observer. Find out what it is that your superior really is not good at or really doesn't like to do, and see what you can do to help that boss out. Now, this isn't brown nosing, for heaven's sakes. A lot of people might say, oh my goodness, Donna, that's just, you know, that's terrible. But it isn't. What you need to understand is that this is a job, and you want to be able to learn as much as you can. So volunteer to do some things. I'm not asking you to kill yourself. I'm asking you to be aware that you can shift your attitude and your demeanor and realize that you might be in a position that they're in one day yourself. So what would you want? How would you appreciate some assistance and help? I remember a very valuable lesson that I learned when I was 17 years old. I was working for a company, and I had had a wonderful working colleague. Her name was Barbara. And Barbara was just so adept. She was just a go-getter, absolutely wonderful. And we all just really liked her. So when she was promoted to the positioning of supervisor, we were thrilled because we knew that she really was going to do a good job. Well, to our surprise, Barbara's attitude had changed. Barbara was very stern, and she was very authoritarian. Well, she had been going to training classes. So she was taking her new positioning with a great deal of seriousness. She really wanted to do a good job. Well, it took me a while because a lot of us began to think, gee whiz, she's not like she used to be. But it took me a while to realize she is in a different position. She really doesn't dislike us, but she is in a position of being a supervisor. So she's the overseer. She has more responsibilities, and she's being held accountable. So for a while, there were a few of us that had chips on our shoulders. We really got our noses bent out of shape. Of course, at 17, it doesn't take much to do that. But really, we became aware of the fact that she really was changing because her responsibilities had changed. She could no longer be the Gabby gal that we always had coffee and cookies with and chit-chatted with. It wasn't the same. She was being disciplined as a leader. That was her responsibility. So she was in her learning curve, and of course, we were going through the experience of her learning curve. So keep that in mind. Also, remember your attitude shows. If you go into the office and you're down in the mouth and you always have something negative to say and, oh, everything is just so terrible, the world is ugly, blah, 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 you're going to find you affect everybody around you. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Ah, they drive you nuts. They absolutely drive you nuts. Well, if you really want to be noticed and appreciated, be the person with a good attitude. Believe it or not, that's not very prevalent. I was in a grocery store not too long ago, and one of the employees, she was sort of beaming, and I looked at her, and I've seen her off and on through the years, and I said, hi, how are you? She said, oh, I feel wonderful. I said, well, that's absolutely terrific. She said, yeah, I told my boss off today. I said, excuse me? She said, it felt so good. I said, well, okay, that makes you feel good. But then the ensuing conversation between herself and some of the other employees was very, very negative. And I thought, this is something. She felt good about what she had done, but yet look at how she's affecting the thoughts of all of the other people, the younger people that were working there. And sadly, if this supervisor doesn't take care of this, there's going to be this attitude that goes out. Well, my attitude is that if you put yourself and you are honest and you have integrity, but keep yourself with a good attitude, you know what? You're going to be noticed, and more than that, you're going to be appreciated. You're going to be appreciated, and you don't have to fake it. You don't have to go along with a smiling face and be like a ceramic doll. That's not a requirement. But also, don't forget, when you're on the job, sometimes it's important that you need to be able to interact with people that are in different positionings within the company. This sometimes can be a problem, but I know my husband has often shared with me one of the most significant lessons that he learned was through a particular company that he worked for. It was one of the largest insurance companies in the nation. And one of the things that they did, they made a requirement. They had a cafeteria, served the best food. Oh, it was just a wonderful, wonderful environment. But the management and supervisors of all levels and employees all had to eat in that lunchroom. And nobody went off in the little special things. The management was encouraged to sit down and to talk with the employees that were there, that were under them. So in sharing food and in having discussions, a lot of things were learned. So don't be afraid to interact with people of different positionings. Remember, they're just human like you. And there may be an opportunity if there is a concern, or maybe in a casual conversation, a coffee break, or something else, you may be able to present an idea that they'll go, that's a good thing. Or there might be a conversation about something that's of concern. But it's important that you just need to be aware. Don't get into the cliques. If you get into the cliques, you're going to have some problems. But if you're really wanting to be a part of the company, to be a part of the environment that you are involved with, don't be afraid of talking to people in management or in a supervisory capacity. Cultivate conversation. You may not be their best buddies and go out play golf with them. That's not an issue. But what you want to do is have conversation. That's one of the biggest detriments, I feel, that we have at this time. So with so much of technology, people are just going, well, you know, they're doing Twittering and all this stuff, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's a disassociation. And it's so easy in an email or in some very short communication to have miscommunication. So being one-on-one, having conversation, it makes all the difference in the world. And I think we've got Bill Nolan. Hi, Bill.
No, it's Michael.
Hi, Michael. Well, I guess Bill isn't going to make it. He might be stuck somewhere on the freeway. Michael,
well,
welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just had a quick question. I've called in once before for myself, but now I'm calling in for my son.
All right. Now, Michael, tell us where you're calling from.
Carmel.
Carmel, California. All right. Well, listen, would you do me a favor? Stand out
sure.
in your front yard after we finish the show and huff and puff and blow some of that sunshine up here to the Pacific Northwest. It showed up yesterday, and then it disappeared. And there's no one up here that's really happy with it. We want that sunshine
back.
We don't
have any right now.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that, Michael. Don't tell me that.
It's coming, but we don't have it right now. It's in and out.
Oh, gee whiz. I thought you'd get out that special hot air.
Oh, here
blow.
It comes. It's coming out right now. I see it. Okay, I'm blowing it right now. I just saw
oh,
it.
Oh, please. Yeah, 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 yeah. And give it an extra shove after we finish.
I will.
We want it up here.
I understand your plight completely.
Oh, well, I think we're going to have this kind of weather, believe it or not, for most of the summer. I will be surprised if we really end up having a warm, warm summer. It will just amaze me. I think we're going to have a rainy summer, and I think we're going to have a rainy fall, and I'm just going, I'm going to have to find a portable sun that I can carry around
with me.
Weather
patterns have really changed, you know.
Oh, it's amazing, you know, but this is, happens up here. I mean, it's just part of what comes with the Pacific Northwest. That's what makes the Salishan so green is all of this moisture. But I think that, you know, after a while, the brain moss needs to be dried out. We need to get rid of the gray and get some of that Seattle blue back. Well, okay.
It makes a difference in your outlook.
Oh, it does. It really does. Michael, what's the first name of your son?
Nicholas. Nick.
Okay. Now, when I'm focusing on Nick, what I am looking at is that he is having some very serious lessons in patience right now. He is also having to learn how to think outside the box and do actions that are contrary to what his experience is. How old is Nick?
23.
Okay. He's young. So this is
yeah.
a learning curve for him. And I would say with Nick, it is a time frame when, without a lot of enthusiasm, life is forcing him to look at different paradigms. Now, this is not bad at all. This is necessary for him because it's part of what he needs to go through. And I'll use a dramatic example. It's like being initiated into manhood. He needs to know that this isn't good, it's not bad, it's just what he has to go through. And none of us like it. I don't know of any person that goes, yahoo, life's giving me a good swift kick in the you-know-what, and I don't like it. That's okay. He'll get over it. What's happening with Nick? Why are you concerned about him? He's really
a
nice
guy.
He's trying to get a
job. He's trying to find himself. You know, he's trying to get a job and figure out what he wants to do in life. You know, everything a young guy wants to figure out. But his main concern right now is a job, and he hasn't had much luck, and I keep telling him, just keep applying. Whoever you think is going to hire, not that they're advertising, and he should find something.
Now, let me ask you a question. What
mm-hmm.
particular areas does he really have an interest in? Does he have a degree?
He's got 2 years of college under his belt, and he's bright. He doesn't, he's talked about all kinds of things, so who knows.
Well, when I know he's talked about all kinds of things, which is quite common. Again, he's having to become focused, and that's
yes.
very difficult for him because he's, that's not the way he likes to do things. And this is very typical, I think, of this generation. They are able to shift their modalities very quickly. And that is partially due to the technology that has evolved and a lot of the lifestyle changes that have come with it. But what does he really, really get involved with when he's not too concerned about anything?
Sports. Looking at sports.
What kind of sports?
All kinds. He loves them all.
Well, let me make a suggestion. Mm-hmm. What I'm picking up is that if he will look at volunteering, like at a Boys and Girls Club, something like that, get involved with young people so that he's around adults. And if he loves sports, he can volunteer to maybe work with kids that have disabilities, or he can be involved in a school program. He should go and talk to some coaches at the local high school or junior high. Say, I'd love to work with you. I just absolutely love sports. How can I help you?
Okay.
Then he needs to look at what he wants to do in going back to school.
Okay.
But there's also some other things that I'm seeing him enjoying doing. He likes putting together projects, and he likes being able to work with teams of people, and he's a very good coordinator. Now, he has strengths that he's not focused on, and at 23, how many of us are that focused? Very few people are. We aren't. We're all over the map. We just have, you know, we have all these little fantasies, which is wonderful. You never want to get rid of the fantasies, but you have all these little things. Will you stay with me, Michael, and I'll be right back?
Sure.
Okay, we're taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. Apparently Bill Nolan is not going to be able to make the show today, so phone lines are open, 888-815-9756. When we come back, we'll continue with Michael, and if you want to chat with me, you can call in too. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. Michael, did that answer your question?
Yes, but I guess my concern, do you think he's going to get a job soon? I guess that's the
no,
pressure.
No, not right away. If you're talking about, let's say, within 2 weeks, no. I think, though, within about a month to 6 weeks, he will be able to find work. Now, it's not going to be an exciting job, but he'll learn a lot from it. So it could be he'll be delivering pizzas, or he'll do something, and it's not going to pay him a whole bunch of money. But what it will do, it will teach him. But I'd like to encourage him, since he has such a love for the sports and outdoors, and he is a very physically active type of an individual, that he consider doing some volunteer work. And there are a couple of things that will happen with him, Michael, when he does this. One, he won't be in his pity pot. Two, he can let people know that he's looking for work. He'll be around adults, be around different individuals, and what they're going to do, they'll keep their eyes and ears open for them. Do you know that a good 80% of jobs that are received by people are because someone says, I know so-and-so, and I think they'd be great for your company. Would you interview them? It's referrals. Somebody knowing someone. So he needs to change his involvement.
Okay.
Because
you
he's got
to
do
listen
something.
To me?
Tell him that I suggested it. Say this is
okay.
A woman that suggested it. Do some volunteer work. Let people know. Wherever he goes, he needs to say, hey, I'm looking for a job. I'm looking for work. If he has to work as a busboy in a restaurant, say, I love to do this, but since he loves sports so much, why not interact with younger kids? Because he'll get the lessons of patience. He'll learn the discipline of communication. And he'll have the support of people who will really appreciate him being there for them.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll definitely recommend that.
Well, let me know how it turns out.
I will, Donna.
You've got a good kid here. Don't worry about him. He's going to be just fine. He's got to go through learning just like you did. You can't do it for him.
I know. He's got to go through it.
Yes, and what you do is smile. Pat him on the back and say, son, this is what becoming a man is all about. And he's going to look at you and he's going to say, Dad, it sucks. You're going to say, mm-hmm, but you'll get through it.
Okay. Thank
you. And have a good sense of humor. Oh, you're more than welcome, Michael.
I'm going outside and I'm pushing the sunshine your way.
Oh, good, 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 good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm expecting it.
You can. It's already there.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I'm ready.
Okay.
Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756, if you'd like to call in and chat with me. Now, I do want to let you know that this weekend on Sunday, I'm going to be doing an interview with Denise Barnes. She is the host of a talk show at WVOL1470.com, and this is the station that Oprah Winfrey started out on so many years ago. And it's located in Nashville, Tennessee. Her program is called Differences, and we're going to be talking on Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon Pacific time. So if you're in the Nashville area, then it would be 5:30 your time, or it would be 6:30 East Coast time on Sunday. So if you can join us, I would be delighted to have you do that. We've got some other shows that are going to be coming up, one in Birmingham, Alabama, another one in Orlando, Florida, and possibly Lexington, Kentucky, Las Vegas, and some others, and I will let you know when I'm going to be appearing on those shows. So that is all going to be right there. Now, I wanted to share something with you about plants. Now, that may sound a little strange, but have you ever been in one of these large, large facilities where they grow tropical plants? Well, when I was up in Canada, I had a chance to go into a conservatory that was dedicated to the raising of butterflies. And that was one of the most amazing experiences. And they had a lot of rare plants because many of these butterflies that were propagating in there like specific plants because that's their food source. Well, I came across this information about this phenomenal botanical wonderland. It's called the Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden. Now, it's in Coral Gables in Florida. And I've got a picture in front of me of this plant, and I guess you better take along a perfumed handkerchief or something because this plant stinks. It smells like rotten meat. And it's just an incredible plant. It is absolutely huge. And the person that was writing about this plant said it has an odor like that of a dead possum rotting by the side of the road. Yeah. And it's called Alice, the Amorphophallus, and it blooms every so often. And when it does, it's just incredible. Well, it's called by another name as well. It's called the corpse flower. Now, this particular plant is native to Sumatra. And just like in so many areas of the world, so many trees, deciduous plants, local in areas, are disappearing. And it's of major concern because we don't know what's there. We have not been able to do enough research to say what is being destroyed. This has happened in the Amazon. It has happened in Africa. I remember when the Smithsonian had a very, very special program on how they were sending out teams of people to areas of the world that they knew were being taken over by population development. So what they were doing, they're trying to get as much research as they could about the natural plants around there and to talk to shamans and different people that understood the values of the plants. Well, this particular plant is growing in this phenomenal botanical garden. Now, this garden is a living museum. They also use it as a lab. It's an herbarium, a university, and a horticultural consultancy. It is 83 acres of land. That is a lot of area. And they've just, it's just filled with cactus gardens, all kinds of things. And it was founded in 1938. And it was named after David Fairchild, who was a plant explorer. And this man traveled the world for 37 years by whatever form he could get. And that was mule. He walked a lot of places, would take a plane, Chinese junks, he'd ride those to get to wherever he needed to be. And what he was doing, he was collecting plants for the Department of Agriculture. And there's a gentleman, John Popoli, he said that every American uses something that David Fairchild introduced every day of their life. Now, that's quite a statement. Not many people could be honored with that kind of a statement. Now, they've got soybeans from China that they grow, durum wheat, you name it, bamboo, anything and everything. But the difference about this garden is that most of the plants were collected in the wild and are under cultivation. They're saving the seeds. They're doing everything they can because the wild plants have a lot of attributes that those that are not, that are all just cultivated in a way where they've been altered, it makes a big difference. And they always want to be sure that they keep those seeds. So you have all of these phenomenal things in the United States in this one locale, and it's just one of many throughout this country of ours, and it makes for fascinating exploration. It makes you aware of how we depend on so many places in the world to get what we take for granted in the store today. I think one of the best projects you can ever do to open up your eyes and your awareness to the involvement of how we have actually been a global network for a long, long time is to go into your grocery store. Pick out some items. Find out where they come from. You'll find out that there are strawberries from South America, maybe Mexico, different parts of the United States. But there are countries around the world that are sending items to us. And we send items out. The state of Washington has a number of agricultural products that go out. We have the wheat, we have apples, we have all kinds of things that grow up here. But that's something we need to remember that really made this country great. Are you aware that during the Second World War, that it was because of the United States being able to grow its own food. We were such a resourceful country that we were able to feed people that otherwise would have starved. We're still doing it today, aren't we? Look at the billions and billions of tons of food that go out to around the world. We don't hear a lot of talk about it, but we need to realize that taking care and preserving our farmlands and respecting the people that are involved in that industry, very, very important. Because without them, we then become totally dependent on the outside, on someone else supplying us what we need. So there's a lot of change that has evolved through the years. Only 1% of the population at this time does the cultivation of farmland. But you know what? There's a lot of little farmers that are coming up and taking care of things. But we have seed banks, different countries around the world. But here in the United States, there's a lot of people that are maintaining and developing even a brand new interest in roof gardens so that they can grow food fresh, and also in preserving and maintaining soils, because we've learned that we have not been doing a very good job, and we've actually been poisoning ourselves as well as everything else in our environment. So we've come to an awareness, and now it's time to turn around. And I think one of the best places, besides the grocery store, is going to some of these places that, like this botanical garden in Florida, that I just think is incredible, and seeing a plant that stinks to high heaven, and being aware that there is a lot that goes on in this world, that when we can become educated about it, who knows, we might inspire some of our kids, or ourselves for that matter, to become involved in doing something special that can make this world a better place in the right way. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. 888-815-9756. When we come back, I've got a recipe for chocolate. Yes, chocolate. Absolutely ambrosia of the gods. We'll be back in just a moment. Have that pad of paper and pen handy. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Okay, I'm a chocolate person. I am a chocolate person, and I am such a chocolate person that I'll just even go into my freezer. I keep a stash. I'll admit this. I keep a stash of frozen chocolate chips. Yes, I like the dark chocolate. You know, that's the good stuff. Well, today, before coming on and doing the show, I had the opportunity to watch Paula Deen. Oh, yes, I just think she is just terrific. I think she's got some of the best recipes. But she did something with chocolate that I thought was marvelous. Now, she had a chocolate drink. I'll share this with you. But she had something else that was so attractive. And for any of you, if you wanted to do something special, let's say you were having a nice intimate dinner with some friends and you really wanted to do something spectacular, go and get some chocolate chips. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, it doesn't make any difference. Or white chocolate. It'd be a good idea if you had a mixture. Even the peanut butter chips, you know those? And what you do, you put a small batch. Let's say you were having a dinner for four, and you were going to serve a dessert, and maybe you wanted to serve a coffee, and chocolate would just go perfectly with a coffee. So what you do, you get a 4 spoons, and then you take your chips, and you melt them in a small glass dish, and you just nuke them in the microwave. It'll take you 30 seconds, because what you're going to use is maybe about a quarter of a cup. You might use more. But what you can do is you dip the spoon in that chocolate. You just coat the bowl of the spoon in the chocolate. And because it has got a particular wax in it, it is going to harden very, very quickly. So then if you wanted a contrasting flavor, like let's say peanut butter, or if you wanted a pretty white chocolate design, then you microwave the white chocolate and then you take and you dribble it over these spoons. Now it'll stay very nicely. You can put those chilled spoons that, remember, the chocolate, well, the chocolate chips will harden very, very quickly. The spoon is covered. You've got this delightful patterning on it. And isn't that going to be pretty when you serve coffee? I mean, heck, you pay a fortune when you go out. There's some places you go, you can buy the spoons already covered in chocolate. Well, you'd be able to make your own designs. It's right there at home. And, oh, is it going to be an eye-catcher. Well, I thought I would also share something with you about chocolate. Being that we're in summertime, although you wouldn't know it here in the Pacific Northwest, but it is summertime for most of you. I know for those of you that are in Tennessee, Kentucky, you're cooking right now. But I would like to suggest something to you as a dessert that's absolutely marvelous. White chocolate ice cream in a cookie cup. Salivating yet? Well, trust me, this is so easy. Now, you can make your own ice cream, or if you're lazy, just get your favorite ice cream, but make sure it's good quality vanilla bean ice cream. Or French vanilla, whatever your preference is. I prefer the vanilla bean. It's, to me, to my taste buds, it's got more of that vanilla flavor. But if you want to make your own, so simple and so easy. Here are the ingredients that you'll need. One egg, and this has to be room temperature. One egg yolk, 3 tablespoons of superfine sugar, 3 tablespoons of superfine sugar, 5 1/2 ounces of white chocolate, 5 1/2 ounces of white chocolate, 1 1/4 cups of milk, 1 1/4 cups of milk, and 2/3 cup of heavy cream. Now, this is for the ice cream, and I'm going to tell you how to fix that. Now, here are the ingredients that you're going to need for the cookie cups. You're going to need one egg white, 4 tablespoons of superfine sugar, 4 tablespoons of superfine sugar, 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, and you want to sift that, and then 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa, you want to sift that too, and 2 tablespoons of butter melted. All right, now we've got the ingredients out of the way, so let me tell you how to fix the ice cream. Now, what you're going to do, you're going to put baking parchment on 2 cooking sheets, okay? Now, to make your ice cream, you beat your egg, the egg yolk, and the sugar. Then you break the chocolate into pieces, and you're going to melt it in a double boiler with 3 tablespoons of milk. You also could use your microwave, but don't put it on the high heat. Make it the medium heat on the microwave and nuke it for maybe just, 15 seconds at a time because it'll melt fairly quickly. You want to heat the milk until it's almost boiling, and then what you want to do with that mixture, you want to pour it slowly into the eggs, beating them. You don't want it going in extremely hot. You want to beat it. You want to aerate it. And then you want to place the mixture over a pan of simmering water, and you want to cook it, stirring until the mixture gets thick enough to coat the back of a wooden spoon. Then you mix in your chocolate. You beat in your chocolate. And what you want to do, you want to cover it with a dampened baking parchment, and you just let the mixture cool. Now what you're going to do is, the next step is you're going to whip the cream until it's holding its shape, until it's sort of firm, and then you want to fold it into the cooled custard. And then you want to put it into a freezer container, and you want to freeze it for about 1 to 2 hours until it's frozen about 1 inch in from the sides. And then you want to scrape it into a bowl, and you want to beat it again until it's smooth, and then you just put it back into that container, and you keep it in the freezer until it's nice and firm. Now, to make the chocolate cups, you're going to beat your egg white and your sugar together. Then you beat in your flour and cocoa, then the butter. And you'll take 1 tablespoon of this gooey mixture, put it on 1 sheet, and spread it out to about a 5-inch round. And you want to bake it in a preheated oven at 400 degrees for about 4 to 5 minutes, not very long. You want to remove it and then put it over an upturned cup. Now, you can use an upside-down muffin tin. You can put it right over the bottoms of the muffin tin. And I suggest you just spray it slightly with a little bit of your nonstick cooking spray. And just let it cool. That's right. They'll just hold their form, but you have to do it when it's warm. And you'll make about 6 cups. And then when you get ready to serve your dessert, you scoop out that wonderful ice cream, if you've made it. Or if you're in a hurry and you don't have the time, then what you do is use a store-bought ice cream. And then take a little bit of your favorite fudge sauce and dribble it over the top. Be creative. But it's delicious. It's not a lot. And it is going to satisfy that sweet tooth. And, oh, it's so pretty. Oh, it just looks so pretty. That cookie, when you take it and you the cookie cup, it is just as pretty as it can be with that ice cream in it, with that delicious patterning of caramel or chocolate or raspberry or whatever you want to put on it. Use your imagination. It's so much fun to cook in the kitchen and to share good food with friends and, most of all, with yourself. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be talking about the Silent Sentinel on Monday. I hope you'll join us. We'll be talking about a wonderful, wonderful antique historical building that's located in the Philippines. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent weekend, and we'll be back here same time, same place, right on BBS Radio on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.